Hello and welcome to the 5-1 Volleyball Podcast, the number one podcast for pro volleyball. And on today's Monday episode, I'm going to take you guys around the world and go over some of the results that happened in this weekend's and the end of last week's professional volleyball matches. And I think the first place that we're going to go over was the big events of the weekend, kind of overshadowed everything else, and that was the Italian Cup, which is the major mid-season tournament in the Italian Volleyball Professional League. And if you're a North American sports fan, you might be wondering what exactly I'm talking about when I talk about the Italian Cup, because in the NBA, NFL, etc., we don't really have a mid-season tournament like they do in Europe. So the Italian Cup is kind of a mid-season tournament. For some leagues, it starts earlier on in the season. For some teams, they like to do it condensed all into a weekend or two. But it's basically, it's not as important as the full championships that they have kind of in the playoffs at the end of the season. But it's the tournament that a lot of teams take very seriously. It's very prestigious. And when you're kind of talking about teams in the context of their success in a season, first you would put how they did in like the championships, but the second thing you would talk about would definitely be how they did in the cup. For example, last season Perugia got the triple crown, which is basically they won the championships, they won the cup, and then there's also something called a super cup that takes place before the season. And Perugia won all three last year, and spoilers, they won it again this year. They took down Ljubice Vitanova in five sets on Sunday morning to crown themselves in the Italian Cup. And they actually did so in really a kind of stylish fashion, you know, giving Ljubice Vitanova the 2-0 lead and then coming back on some, you know, amazing play from, you would guessed it, Wilfredo Leon. He had some incredibly clutch serving in the third set. He had this one spectacular run where he served three balls in a row that ended up being overpasses. Luciano De Cecco, Perugia's setter, set Fabio Ricci three times in a row, which is not something you see very often. Clearly has a lot of trust in his middles. And then Leon hammered another one or two after that for aces that just sealed up that set. And then Perugia won the fourth set 25-23 and the fifth set 15-13 to cap off what was an incredibly, incredibly exciting final game. Probably the best volleyball game I've seen since the World Championships, in my opinion. It was just incredibly entertaining. Two teams playing at the absolute highest level. Reminded me a lot of, actually, the Zenit Kazan versus Ljubice Vitanova game at the end of last season's Champions League. Perugia's a bit of a different team than last year. No more Zaitsev, no more Aaron Russell. They added Filippo Lanza and Wilfredo Leon at those two roles. And you can see their offense is really, really fun this year. Wilfredo Leon, obviously one of the best athletes in our sport, probably like easily the best player in our sport. Perugia had a few tricks up their sleeve in this match that they pulled out. And I think they were saving it for this match. One of my favorite plays from the game was the match ball, actually, where Wilfredo Leon in the back row in position four, they basically set Luciano De Cecco set him basically a front row four set, and Wilfredo Leon hit it like he was in the front row, jumping from behind the attack line. This is a really interesting rotation because usually Filippo Lanza would be, who is in position four in that rotation, would usually be hitting the front row ball from there. But he actually passed from the middle of the court, and we saw it earlier in the game, but his attacking option for this rotation is like almost like a front row pipe, if that makes sense. It's not quite a meter ball, it's a little farther back, but he definitely is well over the attack line when he hits it. So that was a really interesting rotation to see. And then you have Antanasijevic hitting from position one, and I think they were running Podrushanin as a shoot option. So really interesting stuff from Perugia. I don't think I've ever seen that rotation before. And I mean, I don't know if there's any other player in volleyball that can hit a front row set from position five, not position four for Wilfredo Leon. So that can hit a front row set like that. And it was just really cool, you know, to see sometimes in volleyball, we especially in the men's side, teams, it's kind of like a solved game where teams kind of have an optimal rotation, optimal strategy that they don't divert from very often. So it was cool to see from Leon and from DeChenko and from Lorenzo Bernardi, great coaching job from him. On the other side of the net, Svetlana Sokolov definitely had the best weekend for Lyubich Ivitanova, played really well in their semifinals game against Trentino, and then continued that spectacularly in the finals against Perugia, where he scored 23 kills on 34 attempts, had a block, had an ace, and just played really well and efficiently and bailed out Lyubich Ivitanova quite a few times. Juan Torena had a really strong game. Actually got the lowest set load out of all three wings, but that was kind of a result of Lube being stuck in rotations where Yoandre Leal was in the front row several times during the match. But he hit 15 for 21, incredible efficiency there, although he did get blocked four times. But then the wing that kind of was not as strong for Lube on Sunday was Yoandre Leal, who only hit 9 for 25, four errors, and got blocked three times. So really negative efficiency for him. And while he did provide some service pressure at points, including a couple well-timed aces and a couple blocks, it's his offensive output was just nowhere near where it needs to be. And I wouldn't place the loss on his shoulders by any means, but when you see the other two wings playing so well, it's hard not to think that they could have won this match had he been a bit better. But the whole game was absolutely incredible to watch. Tons of really high-powered offense. A lot of really good setting from Bruno and DeChenko. Both teams hit over 50%. Lyubich Ivitanova actually hit 60% in the match. And Perugia hit 52%. So ridiculously high attacking percentage for both sides. This was a really offensive battle. Not to say that the blocking and the defense was bad, but there's just only so much you can do when you're faced with teams like this. Both teams were not afraid to run their middle at all. Lyubich Ivitanova didn't go with Enrico Chester. They actually went with Enrico Diamantini in this match. She hit 7 for 7, was getting some really good feeds from Bruno. And Fabio Ricci on the other side for Perugia, I think, had his best professional match I've ever seen, where he hit 9 for 11 with a block and an ace. And again, like I said, that there was a period in the third set where DeChenko went to him three times in a row and he scored all three times perfectly. So I would say this is the rare match that if you didn't see it, I would actually recommend you go back and watch it, because this has got to be one of the most entertaining volleyball matches I've ever seen. It's probably somewhere up on YouTube. I think if you go on Rysport too, they usually have their old matches available to watch, and those might not even be geo-blocked. So if you can go to Rysport.it, they usually have video on demand for volleyball that will show you the match at least for the next week or so. So get it while it's hot. The semifinal matches where Perugia beat Modena 3-0. It was closer than the score appears. Modena definitely did have their chances there. But again, like we saw in the match they played the Sunday before in the regular season, Ivan Zaitsev, man, he's the anti-clutch this season. He's the anti-Kobe Bryant, anti-LeBron James. He can't get the ball down in the clutch, which is, you know, not generally wasn't a knock against his career. Extremely, extremely talented player. But I think, like Velasco said after the game against Perugia last weekend, that Micah Christensen was relying on him too much at the end of sets, which if you're on Velasco's side, which I wasn't, but if you are, then this match seemed like validation, where Micah went to Zaitsev when they had a couple of key set balls and Zaitsev did not make the finish. And some bad news for Modena fans. Just this morning, it was announced that Micah Christensen is going to be out for anywhere from 3 weeks to 3 months after he's getting his left meniscus surgically repaired, which is a huge blow to Modena right now, because they've had a bit of a struggle this season, you know, fourth place. And with this news, they could drop to fifth place fairly easily. They're only 3 points above Milano, and Milano does have a tough schedule, but so does Modena, but lots of matchups against other top six teams. So bad news for Micah Christensen. Hopefully he can get better quickly. A surgically repaired meniscus is definitely not like a super serious injury. Players come back usually and are totally fine. Definitely fine in the long run. but the timetable does worry me a bit. 3 months would put him pretty much out of the entire playoffs, which would obviously be a complete disaster. I doubt he'll take that long to recover. More likely, he'll be back right about the start of playoffs in April. But we're going to be waiting with lots of anticipation on any more news about Micah Christensen and whether he can be returned in time for playoffs. And then you've got to be kind of wondering what USA Volleyball thinks about this. I don't think they're worried from a medical perspective, because I think they know Modena has one of the best like training staffs on the planet for volleyball. They have complete trust in the surgeons to do their job correctly. But I wonder if this means that Micah Christensen might not be available for parts of Nations League, which honestly would probably be good for him in the long run. The issue is that the USA doesn't really have a great backup setter option right now. Mika Ma could potentially come in and be the starting setter, but or maybe Kawika Shoji, or maybe Jonas Seif. James Shaw, we know now, is playing opposite. So they don't really have either their young guys are kind of unproven. Michael Seda is kind of like that too. Or their older guys just aren't really as good anymore in Kawika Shoji. So we'll see what they decide to do. I'm sure it'll probably be fine in the long run. And hopefully Micah Christensen gets better soon. And just quickly, the other semifinal game was Lubitsch Ivanova beating Trentino 3-2. So in five sets. And it's a pretty fantastic game as well. Maybe not quite as offensively powerful as the Lubitsch Ivanova versus Perugia final. But, you know, it shows that, man, these top four teams are so close. Especially Perugia, Lube, and Trentino this year. I could have seen this match in this tournament going anyway. It wasn't like last year where we were pretty sure Perugia was just going to kick butt and take everything. I think this year, if a couple balls go a couple different ways, you could have seen even Trentino winning the whole thing. Bit of a tough offensive performance for Aaron Russell. He only hit 12 for 29 in this game. And he was making some pretty bad errors. Like, he had three errors, got blocked three times, and a few of those were not even on tough sets. They were, you know, getting a good set from Simone Gianelli and then just ripping one down the line, but it missed out by like 3 feet. There's plays like that that, you know, Aaron Russell struggled a bit this year. After he won the Club World Championships trophy, I thought he was good in that tournament. But after that, he hasn't had like a string of really, really strong games. So hopefully he can return to his top form as well. Overall, another tough one for Lubitsch Ivanova. I believe this is their seventh second place finish in the last like couple years. We know they came in second in Champions League to Zenit Kazan this year. They came in second to Sur Safety Perugia, both in the last season's cup and in the championship finals. And then also this year, they came in second to Perugia in the cup. So, I feel bad for these guys, man. I mean, I guess it's better to become in second than to become like a third or fourth or fifth place. But I don't know if you guys have heard of there was a psychology journal article once that said the people who win bronze medal are like Olympic winners who win bronze are actually happier than the people who win silver, just because it's, you know, you always want to end on a win. You want to kind of like redeem yourself at the end of the tournament, and losing, knowing you were so close to the championship and losing every single time, has got to be pretty discouraging at this point, I would imagine. The Italian teams don't have that much time to rest though, because this week we have the fifth leg of the fourth round of Champions League, and one really, really important match is Modena versus Cucine Lubitsch Ivanova on February 13th, which is on Wednesday. And I'm actually working the games that day, so if you guys see any cool graphics on Twitter, or cool stories on Instagram, you guys know who's going to be doing that. Anyway, Modena versus Ivanova. I think Modena losing Micah Christensen is gonna sting for them. I think Lubitsch Ivanova's got that one in the bag, which is really good for Zaxa, Kedzers, and Kozle, because them and Modena are really fighting it out for that last spot in the Pool B, which is kind of like the pool of death in the Champions League this year. Or Lubitsch Ivanova might, you know, not put their best lineup forward and not intentionally lose, but maybe not play their best possible volleyball, give Modena the win, which means Zaxa would likely be the one missing. Anyway, that's definitely the most match in Champions League I'm looking forward to the most this week. And then The other Italian team playing is Perugia is playing Dynamo Moscow, who's probably their toughest matchup in that pool, but I expect Perugia to take care of business in that. Okay, anyway, moving on to Poland, going a bit west here. The matchup I want to talk about the most first, probably the juiciest matchup on the weekend that took, you know, kind of got overshadowed by the other games going on Sunday, but Resovia beat Belchatov 3-1. Yeah, so Belchatov, we know they haven't been doing that hot this season, but they are now officially have a losing record at 8 wins and 9 losses, which if you've been following Skra the last few years, that is not a position they find themselves in very often. And Resovia, huge win for them. We all know they had that incredibly bad start to the season. I think they lost their first 6 or 7 games. And ever since they had a respectable showing at the Club World Championships, they've definitely been playing better ball. We know they're playing, they definitely should be a team that making the playoffs. Their lineup is pretty stacked. They've got Luke Perry at libero, David Smith, Thibaut Rossard at the outside, Damian Schulz as their opposite. They have Kawika Choji and Lucas Kozub at the setter position. They have Matej Mika at the other outside. They have Rafael Buszek. That's like a really good roster, in my opinion. I think they, honestly, if you just show me the rosters of all these teams and you're like, okay, rank them right now, I'd probably put them like second or third. Like, this is a really good roster, and they've just done nothing but disappoint this season so far. So this is a really, really important kind of moral win for them, beating Skra 3-1. And Skra did have like a lot of injuries, which I'm going to go over later, but Thibaut Rossard had a great game. He hit 24 for 31. That's like unprecedentedly good efficiency. That's, you rarely see 77%, and he only got blocked once and no errors. So Thibaut Rossard, watch out for him. I think he's, even though all the French outsets are playing really well right now, I think Rossard might be the best of the bunch. He's playing fantastic volleyball right now. On the other side for Skra, let's say, okay, I'm going to count out how many players they have listed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. They only have 10 players on their roster. They are dealing with some major, 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 major injuries right now. So René Tapin, in the opposite, Mariusz Vlajly isn't really able to play. Kochanowski was in, but hit 6 for 11, but you know, didn't have his best game. Probably could have seen more usage. Milan Katic, who's also a bench player, was in for this game. Peter Orsic, also a bench player, was in for this game. They're just dealing with some pretty serious injuries. Basically, they just have their two middles, their setter, and the libero. All of their wings are just dealing with some pretty bad injuries right now. And even the ones that are in are not entirely healthy. All right, so here are the injuries they're dealing with. Patrick Sarnowski, knee injury. Mariusz Vlajly, also injured. Milady Badapour, injured. Arthur Shalpuk, injured. And David Rodriguez, the Cuban middle, is injured with an abdominal injury. So that's crazy. 5 really important players for that team, all unavailable. There's a real chance they drop out of the playoffs now. They are 8 and 9 at 24 points, which is tied with Katowice, only 2 points ahead of Olsztyn, 4 points ahead of Gdansk and Resovia. I could see any of those 5 teams sneaking into that last playoff spot. And now we've seen Zavrici really start to distance themselves with 30 ranking points, 11 and 7. It'd really be really tough for Belchatov or any of the other teams to catch them. So really, I'd say if like 5 of the playoff teams, Zaxa, Versava, Szczepczy Vigil, Radom, Zavrici, those guys are locked in. We basically just have Belchatov left to compete with or defend those other teams off from taking their spot. And obviously, Skra has a lot of excuses. But even when they were healthy at the beginning of the season, or at least relatively healthy, they were almost always missing Vlajly. They weren't playing their best volleyball, and if they miss the playoffs, that'd be very disappointing after the incredible season they had last year, where they won the championships and were competitive in Champions League. The other two results I wanted to go over quickly: Gdansk beat Olsztyn 3-2, and Gdansk, one of the kind of Cinderella stories of last season, led by Canadian setter TJ Sanders, They won the Polish Cup. They made the playoffs. It was a really great season for them. Unfortunately, as it happens sometimes, when you have players that play above their usual level, they weren't able to retain all their players. And actually, you know what? They actually are doing pretty well in Champions League this year, but they haven't been doing as well in the Polish League, where they sit, I think, in 10th or 11th place with 20 points. They still have an outside shot at making the playoffs, but they definitely have a lot of teams to compete with around this level. But their win against Olsztyn is a step in the right direction. That's another team that's competing for that sixth playoff spot that Skra is currently occupying. Yeah, that's right. There's only six playoff spots in the Plusliga, so it's a little more competitive than the eight teams that get to make it in Italy and honestly in most other leagues. I actually kind of like it. It gives more of an incentive to get the first two seeds who get a bye in the first round, and then it makes it a really competitive playoff race. So it definitely makes the regular season matter more and makes things a bit more interesting. Maci Muzaj is having an absolutely crazy season, both in the Champions League and in the Polish League. Still the league's leading scorer. I think he's the leading scorer of Champions League too. I know he's probably not going to get much playing time ever on the Polish national team because, you know, Bartosz Kurek is there, Damian Scholz is there, Konarski is there, Kaczmarek's there. They're just really stacked at that position. But I think he's always been a really good athlete and maybe not the best volleyball player, but I think he's finally started to figure out the volleyball side of things, the skill side of things. He's doing a really good job of choosing his hits, picking his spots. And honestly, I think a lot of like really tall athletic guys can learn from him. I'd love to see Siobhan Vernon Evans copy elements of Muzaj's game. So well done to him. And also have to mention Piotr Nowakowski in this game, 12 for 16. Even for a middle, that's really good efficiency. 18 points on the game, two aces. There's a reason why he gets a spot on Poland's national team. He even plays over guys like Kochanowski sometimes. He's really smart, really skilled player. Not the most athletic. He's not going to bang the hardest, but he's a middle who knows where to pick his spots and is a really smart, heady player. And the last game I want to talk about briefly is Zaxa just crushing Jastrzębski Vigil 3-0. That's been the sort of the story of the season so far. We saw this matchup in the Polish Cup too that Zaxa very easily won, and you know, it doesn't really bode well for the competitiveness of the league that even without Daru, that Zaxa is still taking care of teams like this. James Shaw actually saw a bit of action, came in to serve a few times, got a few sets, didn't really do much, but still waiting for him to actually go in for a game for real. But yeah, when the second place or third place team is just Jastrzębski Vigil, doesn't even come close to beating Zaxa, and granted it wasn't their best game ever by any means, but it's it doesn't make you anticipate the playoffs a huge amount, especially when things in Italy are so crazy right now. Moving even farther to the east, let's talk a bit about the Russian League, because it finally happened, guys. It finally happened. Zenit Kazan lost a game in Russia. What is going on? So our team that made it to the Club World Championship, so you guys actually may have seen them play this season, Fekel Novy Urengoy, or I actually learned recently that Fekel kind of translates to torch in Russian, so you can call them the Torchers. They actually beat Zenit Kazan, and I believe it was in Kazan as well. So well done to them. So we know their major players, of course, the two prodigious outsides that are also the outside starters on the Russian national team, Igor Kliuka and Dmitry Volkov. Volkov 11 for 19 this game. Kliuka only 11 for 25, but had a block and also two aces. So, decent performances from them. Eric Shoji, the American national team libero, has been huge for them. And then Arthur Udris, who I believe is Hungarian, hit 15 for 32 this game. He's been really good for them this season. Just a great overall showing from Fekel. Zenit Kazan usually untouchable in the Russian Super League. Although I did watch their game against Belgorod last week, and honestly, a couple balls go a different way, Belgorod would have beat Zenit Kazan as well. Can you imagine if Zenit Kazan lost two games in a row? It'd be completely unheard of. So I've actually been trying to watch a bit more Russian League, because I think these teams, especially at the top, teams like Belgorod, Fekel, Zenit Kazan, Zenit St. Petersburg, Dynamo Moscow. There's some really legit teams. Kuzbash Kemer Vuz, second place team. These are some really fun teams to watch, and I'm watching them on Laola.tv. Unfortunately, that subscription isn't quite as worth it since they recently lost the rights to the Champions League, but you know, they have the Russian League, they have the Indian Pro League. I'm going to talk about that in a bit. They have the Korean League. So if you're looking for some kind of obscure leagues out east, I would check them out on Laola. Great site. And then the other result I want to talk about briefly is Belgorod beating Zenit St. Petersburg 3-1. After Zenit St. Petersburg's very cocky win against Dynamo Moscow, where they won in three sets, and Jörg Grosjer was kind of chirping them after the game, saying, "Oh, I thought they were gonna provide more resistance." So didn't quite go that way in this game though, as Belgorod gets the 3-1 win. Gord Perrin continues to be one of the best players in Russia, arguably like top three outside hitter. Hit 15 for 38. Just incredibly efficient game from him. Wasn't his best passing game, but there are some tough servers in Russia. Nemanja Petrik continues to be a great running mate for him. 13 for 24. I like watching Belgorod. Those two guys on the wings. And a bunch of great Russian players around them, like Poroshin and Golubev. Just really fun to watch. Grosjer played decently well this game. He hit 19 for 32, but that's kind of a deceptive stat because he made six errors and got blocked two times, which is one of the reasons why I wish they used attack efficiency rather than kill percentage in data volley, but that's a discussion for another day. Oriol Camejo, 15 for 27, pretty good hitting as well. But while the Zenit St. Petersburg team is great, like side-out team, great at getting the ball back, they're just not a great defensive team. They don't have a lot of guys who are going to make really good defensive plays, especially in the back row, and I think that hurts them. If they ever have to do more than just pass that hit, they become a much, much worse team. And Grosjer and Camejo are really strong players, but not the best out-of-system players of all time. So, especially Grosjer, he used to be. He's a little older now, though. So, we'll see. The top teams in Russia, probably the loss of Zenit Kazan gave some of these teams a really good morale boost because they're like, oh, wow, this team that was, I think they were 18-0 before tonight. Like, we actually might have a chance against this team. So really interesting stuff going on in Russia right now. Dynamo Moscow, who's not played the best volleyball recently, is unfortunately, they have to play Perugia, which is even harder than all the Russian teams they've been losing to. Zenit St. Petersburg is taking on Chaumont. Obviously, I would pick Zenit St. Petersburg to win, but Chaumont has proven to be a really tough opponent this season. They have Martin Antonov playing really well. Michael Seda's playing really well. They have one of the best liberos in volleyball and Blair Ban. That's not going to be an easy out at all. And then Zenit Kazan is playing Frankfurt. And, maybe Frankfurt will be the second team to beat him, but I would not bet on that. I would definitely not bet on that. They probably have a lot of pent-up anger to unleash on Frankfurt. I do not envy Lucas Van Berkel and the rest of them when they have to play Zenit Kazan this week in the Champions League. So I mentioned that the Pro Volleyball League was on Laola earlier, which I didn't even know it was, but I was watching a couple of games this weekend and this morning, and obviously the level of play is not great, probably not even as good as the big three Asian leagues in China, Korea, and Japan. But the presentation was actually really top notch. As India is an English-speaking country, so all the commentary was in English. And I actually, not gonna lie, I thought the commentary on this was like very comparable to a lot of the commentary done for FIVB matches and the NCAA matches that I've watched. Really good job by them. The presentation is really good, and they have a few exciting ideas. Like, all the games are 5 sets to 15, which is really interesting way of doing it. Makes games shorter, I think personally I like it because it makes, I guess there's less chance of a comeback, but it makes individual games more exciting. Each game is to 15, they're starting over. And one of the things I don't like watching about volleyball is that, there's times where it's like 16-11, 16-12 going into that technical timeline. You're like, all right, is it even worth watching the end of this set? Like, the chances of there is a chance to come back, but in a lot of cases it's very low, especially if it's one team's is noticeably stronger than the other. So the sets to 15 make it a bit more fast paced and make it more likely that a blowout doesn't waste like a third of the entire match. And then there's this other rule that they have, which I thought, I didn't even know about this until I started watching it, but they have something called a super point. So I believe it's once per set a coach can call for a super point, and that point is worth double, which kudos to them for having the balls to think up ideas like this. Like, they're going so far off the roadmap for volleyball that I don't even know where they got this idea about them. But in practice, I think it's pretty interesting. Like, as soon as the coach calls for a super point, you know, everything gets more intense. All the players kind of lock in a little bit more. You know that point's going to be really exciting and really tense and really interesting. And it provides another layer for coaching. Like, okay, do I call a super point when I have my best server at the line? Do I call a super point when they have a bad server and you know I'm going to have a really good serve-receive lineup in? When I have like a really good, you think I'm going to play this next point in system and get a really good attack off? There's a lot of like different ways of approaching it, so it's interesting to see the strategy of the coaches and how they call that super point, because getting 2 points for the price of one, that can turn a set around like that, especially remember that the sets are only to the 15. So yeah, the Indian Pro League, I would definitely check it out if you have a chance. They got a few good foreigners playing in there. You got Paul Lottman from the States, the former national team player. You got Rudy Verhoef, a former Canadian national team player playing over there. You got some kind of more random Euro guys playing. You have David Lee, the American national team middle, playing over there. So yeah, okay, a lot of these guys are past their playing primes, but it's really cool to watch volleyball be so popular in India. The presentation's great. The commentators are great. It seems to take it super seriously. So I'm always excited for more pro volleyball. And I think it's way better than I would have expected, considering this is their first time trying something like this. This weekend was pretty hilarious in Brazil as well. I don't think I've ever seen this before, but there were six different matches on. Like, there's 12 teams in Brazil in their first division, and five of the six games went to five sets, which is pretty hilarious, especially considering that, you know, in Brazil, there's the big four might be even more dominant than the big four in Italy. Like, the Tabate, CESESP, Rio de Janeiro, and Santa Cruzeiro are just pretty much untouchable there. But Santa Cruzeiro got taken to five sets. Rio de Janeiro got taken to five sets. Sao Paulo got taken to five sets. And Tabate, they all won. They all won their five setters. But it's just kind of interesting to see all those five setters. But yeah, all the teams that should have won did win. And we just a quick recap of the Brazilian standings. Santa Cruzeiro with Taylor Sander and Kevin LaRue, really fun team this year. They're in first place with 40 ranking points at 14-2. Sao Paulo also sitting at 14-2, but with only 38 ranking points. Tabate 13-3 at 37, and Rio de Janeiro 12-4. So actually, kind of mirrors Italy really closely. Santa Cruzeiro is like Perugia. Sao Paulo is like Lube, Tabate is like Trentino, and then you got the fourth place team that's really good but not quite as good in Rio de Janeiro at fourth place. So things are starting to heat up in Brazil. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens when they get to the playoffs there. So that's all I have for the kind of Monday Pro Recap episode. Let me know if you guys like this kind of format for an episode, just going around kind of, you know, giving my thoughts on all the different matches that went on during the weekend at the end of last week. This week, obviously, the main event is the Champions League. We're really getting to some important matches here, the fifth of six legs. So I highly recommend you watch that on Eurovolley.tv. It's going to be some really fun volleyball there. And then if you haven't seen my review for Spike Volleyball that I put up on my YouTube channel, I recommend you check that out. Well, I don't recommend you check out the game, because the game is terrible. But if you want to know exactly why I think it's terrible, take a look at that. And other than that, as always, check out 51vb.com for more content. And I hope you guys have a wonderful, exciting week that is warmer than the negative 20 degrees Celsius and blizzards that we're going to have in Toronto. All right. See you later.